Welcome to the PyTech Solutions Podcast, where we bring you the latest in news and trends shaping the future of technology in regulated industries.
Thanks, Mike, and it's great to be back in the studio. This week, we're turning our attention to banking, and honestly, there has rarely been a more pivotal moment for the sector.
Couldn't agree more, Laura. If 2025 was the year banks experimented with artificial intelligence, 2026 is the year they're being asked to actually operationalize it, and the numbers behind that shift are striking.
They really are. There's a KPMG figure making the rounds that 82% of U.S. banks say they plan to increase the share of their overall budget devoted to AI, and nearly 4 in 10 expect AI to eventually exceed 20% of their total technology budget. That is not a science project anymore. That's a core operating line item.
And what's driving it is this move from what people are calling chatbot theater to genuinely autonomous operations. The industry term is agentic AI. Instead of a reactive assistant that just answers a question, you have systems that can access other systems, make decisions, and execute multi-step workflows on their own.
Give our listeners a concrete example, Mike, because I think that's where it clicks.
Sure. Take BNY. They've talked publicly about deploying hundreds of what they describe as digital employees, essentially AI, agents that sit alongside human teams and handle end-to-end processes. TD Bank in the U.S. is actively assessing how agents can transform business processes. And the Commonwealth Bank of Australia went so far as to appoint its first chief AI officer earlier this year.
And the value is starting to show up on the books. Lloyds Banking Group said generative AI delivered around £50 million of value in 2025, and they're expecting more than £100 million in additional value this year. When you see a number like that from a systemically important bank, the rest of the sector notices.
The clearest wins so far are in fraud and compliance. In mature deployments, fraud detection agents are cutting false positive rates by 60% or more, and compliance automation is delivering 30 to 50% reductions in manual workload on anti-money laundering and know your customer processes.
That false positive number is a big deal, Mike. Every false positive is a real customer who gets a legitimate transaction declined, plus an analyst who has to chase it down. So cutting that isn't just efficiency, it's customer experience and employee experience at the same time.
Exactly. But here's the tension, and this is where our C-suite listeners really need to lean in. The technology is racing ahead of the rulebook.
This is the regulatory story of the year, isn't it? Walk us through the new model risk guidance.
So on April 17th, 2026, the Federal Reserve, the OCC, and the FDIC jointly issued revised guidance on model risk management. It's known as SR26-2, and it supersedes the old SR11-7 framework that had been in place since 2011. It's most relevant to banking organizations with more than $30 billion in total assets.
And it keeps the core principles, right? Validation, monitoring, governance, effective challenge.
It does. But here's the part that raised eyebrows. SR26-2 explicitly excludes generative AI and agentic AI from its formal scope, on the grounds that those technologies are, quote, novel and rapidly evolving.
Which is a fascinating regulatory choice. On one hand, I understand it. You don't want to freeze a rule around a technology that's changing every quarter. On the other hand, the most powerful and least understood tools your bank is deploying are now the ones sitting outside the formal model risk framework.
That's the gap. And the regulators essentially handed it back to the banks. The guidance says institutions should use their own risk management and governance practices to determine appropriate controls for anything not covered. So the accountability doesn't disappear, it just lands squarely on the board and the C-suite.
So my takeaway for leaders would be, don't read that exclusion as a free pass. Read it as an invitation to build your own governance ahead of the regulation. Because when the formal rules do arrive, and they will, examiners are going to ask what you did in the meantime.
Well said. And it's not just AI on the regulatory docket. The other seismic shift is in payments and deposits, and that comes down to two words, the Genius Act.
Right, the first real federal framework for payment stablecoins. And by this year, it's moved from theoretical to operationally unavoidable. In April, the FDIC approved a notice of proposed rulemaking to implement it for insured depository institutions.
And this is existential math for a lot of banks, Laura. If stablecoins start substituting for traditional deposits, banks lose funding. The estimates I've seen suggest that for every $100 billion of net deposit drain, lending capacity could shrink by somewhere between $60 and $126 billion.
That's the disintermediation fear in a nutshell. But there's a really interesting defensive move emerging, which is tokenized deposits.
Explain that one, because I think it's the most important strategic option on the table right now.
So a tokenized deposit gives you a lot of what makes stablecoins attractive. Speed, programmability, the ability to move value instantly and around the clock. But it stays fully inside the regulated banking framework. It's still a bank deposit, just represented on a ledger that can move at internet speed.
So instead of watching money flee to a stablecoin issuer, the bank offers its own modern rails and keeps the customer, the deposit, and the relationship.
Exactly. For banks that want to modernize payments without diving directly into issuing a stablecoin, tokenized deposits may honestly be the preferred path. It's the both and rather than the either or.
And the last piece I want to touch on is open banking, because it's been a roller coaster. Section 1033 of the Dodd-Frank Act was supposed to be the foundation of U.S. open banking, giving consumers the right to share their own financial data.
And that rule has hit real turbulence. A federal court in Kentucky enjoined the CFPB from enforcing it, and the Bureau has since reopened the rulemaking to write a version it says is, quote, more suited to market realities.
Which leaves banks in a genuinely awkward spot. The rule technically exists on the books, but it's effectively unenforceable while it's being rewritten. So do you invest in secure data sharing infrastructure now, or wait for the final shape of the rule?
And my view is that the smart money builds anyway. Consumer expectations around data portability aren't going backwards, whatever the final rule says. The banks that treat secure consumer-permissioned data sharing as a feature rather than a compliance burden are going to win the relationship.
Before we pull it all together, there's a human dimension here we shouldn't skip. All of these agents and models still need people who genuinely understand them.
That's such a good point. Singapore, for example, has set an industry-wide target to train more than 100,000 finance professionals in AI skills over the next 3 years, with a real emphasis on responsible use and helping people transition into new roles.
And that's the part boards sometimes underestimate. You can buy the technology, but the governance, the effective challenge, the judgment about when to trust an agent and when to pull a human back into the loop, all of that depends on talent.
It does, and for our global listeners, the regulatory calendar matters here too. In Europe, negotiators reached a provisional agreement on the digital omnibus that gives the banking sector a 16-month delay on some of the high-risk AI obligations, pushing enforcement out to December 2nd, 2027.
Which sounds like breathing room, but I'd caution leaders not to treat a delay as a reprieve. The direction of travel is set. That extra time is for getting your house in order, not for putting the work off.
Agreed. And it reinforces the theme we keep coming back to. Whether it's model risk, stablecoins, or AI talent, the institutions that move deliberately now are buying themselves real optionality later.
So if we pull the threads together for our listeners, there's a really clear theme this week. In every one of these stories, the technology and the customer expectation are moving faster than the regulation.
That's such an important point. Agentic AI, stablecoins, open banking, in all three cases, the leaders who wait for perfect regulatory clarity are going to be reacting from behind. The winners are building governance and infrastructure now, so they're ready to move the moment the rules solidify.
And that's really the through line for regulated industries generally. Waiting for certainty is itself a strategic decision and usually not a good one. The institutions that thrive are the ones that build responsibly, ahead of the curve.
Perfectly put, Mike. The message for the C-suite is govern your AI before you're told to, modernize your payment rails before your deposits walk out the door, and treat data sharing as an opportunity, not a threat.
A great place to leave it. Thanks as always for the sharp analysis, Laura, and thank you to everyone listening.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about PiTech Solutions, visit our website at pitechsol.com. Thanks and have a great day.